Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, Lord, we minister to all those that aren't here today, God. Let's go out for them, God. All those that are discouraged, all those, God, that possibly those that had damage from these rains, God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, that you would complete that good word. I thank you, God, that this word goes out with power and authority in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, be opening your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. 3 innocent creatures gave their life that you could hear this message today. No, really? Seriously. Innocent creatures. Creatures that never harmed anyone. Creatures that gave back to their master every day. Died so you can hear this message. During the revival meetings, I think it was Friday night. No, it was Saturday night. I came home, and we ate some stuff. They were all staying in my house, so you got to eat after a meeting. So the next morning, Donna went outside and said, "Oh, my gosh." No, it was when we was getting ready to go to church Saturdays when it was. I'm sorry. Donna went out to get some eggs out of the chicken roost. And guess what? There was feathers everywhere. There was dead bodies everywhere. Chickens. You're going, "Now that's fun." That's not funny, man. They were like pets. That is not funny. Yeah, somehow you just don't get as upset over a chicken as you do your dog. But anyway, there's dead bodies laying everywhere. And that's why I had to leave Saturday night to go clear dead bodies. I missed a little bit of the worship. And is that the night you were said things were kind of a spiritual warfare, or was that Friday? Anyway, see, that's what was going on Friday. The enemy was out stealing, killing, and destroying. But the point of all that is I know you're thinking there can't be a point. The point is I thought about that and I considered it well. At first I thought, well, dead chickens, half as many, only 2 hens left and 1 rooster. You know, the rooster's pretty much worthless. Oh, he does make noise every day. But we lost our laying community, right? And I thought, there's got to be some kind of spiritual, there's got to be something God can bring out of this. And I thought, there was a cage, which is bulletproof. Nothing can get in there. It's got wire under the bottom. Things can't tunnel under and burrow under and get in it. But still, we had 3 dead chickens. You're going, what's it mean? What's it really mean? The chickens, there's a door in that chicken coop. And the master has to go shut the door every night, because they come in. See, they come into the shelter. They come back to the house by themselves, and they get up on the roost. But even though they were in a safe place, it wasn't safe because the door was open. Now, as master over those chickens, it was my job or Donna's job to go out there and close that door and lock it. But because something was going on, we failed to. And I had a neighbor I talked to, and said, I told him what night it happened. He said, "That's weird, because I saw a bobcat going along your fence line that evening." I'm like, "Whoa, a bobcat. That's pretty cool." And the thing is, this thing came and killed these chickens and didn't eat anything. Just killed them, I guess just for fun. Because they come to steal, kill, and destroy. Does that? Anyway, these chickens could not shut their own coop. But I could have. The difference is, us as chickens, God has provided us a safe place. God has provided us a refuge. Amen? Let's look at some scripture. Nehemiah. This is a long title, but I never put a title on these, but there is a way that seems right to a man. I put, there is a way, a path, a wall, a door, a gate that seems right. And a wall, I'm going to read you definitions of wall, door, and gate. A wall is pretty simple. It means a wall of protection. Cities always used to have walls around them, right? They were all walled cities. And it protects the people that live inside there from the enemy, right? A door, a swinging or sliding barrier, which an entry is closed and opened, a similar part of a piece of furniture. An opening in or out, a barrier to keep things out or to keep things in. I know this is simple. You know what a door is, a gate. It's a larger than a door, but it's on a wall of a city, a palace, a town, a prison, entrance to any state. Okay, there are physical. Would you agree? There's physical walls. Can you think of a place where there's a wall? Any place you can think of a wall? Flood wall. Very good. I didn't think. What's that do? That is excellent. That is excellent. It keeps the river out. But you know what? Back in 1960-something, city of Louisville used to be pretty hick. Still is, kind of. But they had the flood walls all built. But guess what? They forgot where they put the gates. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember. They couldn't find the gates to put them big steel gates in the flood wall to stop the. So everywhere there was a road, the water came in and flooded the city. So there was a wall there. Man, I'm glad you brought that up. So there's walls. Anybody else got an example of a wall? What about a gate? Anybody got an example of a gate? Well, a floodgate. Anything else? What's that? Opening in a fence, like if you own a farm, to keep cattle in, right? Or to keep things out, mainly to keep things in, right? And then there's doors. Give me an example of a door. Of course, you got a bunch of them on this building. You got them on your house. You got them on your car. You see doors, you ought to remember this every time you open a door. You ought to remember this teaching. There was I keep going back to stuff y'all don't remember, but there was a rock group in the 60s called The Doors. And they were very demonic. You go, no, they weren't. That was just poppy. Oh, they were. He was having relationships with a witch. He probably didn't even realize how deep he was in, but he was in deep. He died at 27 years old. Young fella, pretty boy. But they said they called it The Doors. It was after a philosopher. I can't even remember his name. But he said the whole idea behind The Doors was to tear down the resistance to open the doors to let things in. That was their whole deal. They wanted to change society through opening doors. And a lot of people got changed by music. So there's good doors. There are physical doors, amen? Walls, doors, and gates, wouldn't you agree? There are spiritual walls, doors, and gates. They're just as real as physical. Does that make sense? Nehemiah 2, verse 12. Lord God, let this be light. Let this be challenging, God. And I'm expecting people to get some doors closed today. I'm expecting people to get some gates shut. I'm expecting some people to get some walls built again today. I'm expecting you to come to this altar And God's going to expose to you what's been left open in your life that's trying to destroy it. Nehemiah 2:13, I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. God built a firewall around you when you were in your mother's womb. God put a wall around you of protection. You were protected in that womb from things on the outside. Right? You were surrounded by water. Even if you got shook up and jostled up and mom fell down, you were protected by this wall of water. Would you agree? You were in this womb and you were safe and safe and safe. Right? But man has figured out a way to even invade that wall, right? It's called abortion. You can go in and you can go into a safe place and open that gate and destroy life, right? But God had a wall around you before you were in your mother's womb. I believe that. He had a purpose. He had a plan. There are doors. There's doors that lead to life. There are doors that lead to death. Wouldn't you agree? There are doors that lead to life. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Correct? I am the door. Any man that enters in through me will what? Be saved. In that scripture, he said, I am the door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will what? I'll come in, right? I'll come in. I'll come in. Is that true? He was talking to the church, wasn't he? We use that for a salvation scripture, and that's all good. That praise God. But it was talking to the church. I'll come in. I'll inhabit your praises. I will build a city. I will build a warrior. I will build up warriors. Praise God. In verse 21, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Gates. And I know this may seem so simple to you, but there's something about it. Have you ever heard of a gateway drug? They use it all the time anymore, don't they? What's it called? Marijuana, right? Just a simple little gateway drug, just a little buzz, just a little bit of high. What's it a gateway to? Other drugs? What else? It's a key. It's a key. It opens doors. Y'all going, I don't get that. I never did pot. Come on, guys. Don't lie to me. It opens doors. Did you know God put doors on your mind, on your spirit, that he wanted shut and locked? Did you know that? Yeah. Maybe you didn't know that. He put doors on you, and he sealed them. And drugs are a gateway into the occult. And we've got a nation that's captivated by drugs. And now all the news channels now are doing stories on the opiate, opiate addiction and da-da-da-da. And that's wonderful that they're trying to do something about it. They're exposing the darkness, but they're doing nothing to stop it. because man cannot stop what's going on. The doors have to be spiritually shut and sealed by the blood. Amen? Come on, man. Come on, man. When I picked up my mom's first Winston cigarette and lit it up because I thought it was cool and I didn't want to be cool either. I didn't want to do it in front of people. I just wanted to do it to see what it was like. So I choked a little bit, but I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. You know what door opened up? Addiction. I was addicted to tobacco, and then alcohol quickly followed, and then pot quickly followed. When you open that door, you're saying, come on in. Come on in. Oh, it's just a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, I beg your pardon. What set me free of tobacco? Jesus, of course. But you know what? When I got this revelation and I watched my mother-in-law suck on cigarettes and oxygen at the same time and gag and gasp for air and die. Now, that don't happen to everybody. Praise God, it don't happen to everybody. But I was already walking with God. I was already walking with Jesus. I went to the Methodist church down here. In between church and Sunday school, the deacons would go out and smoke cigarettes to get their fix so they could make it through Sunday school. Well, come on, man. You know what it's like. If you ever smoked, you know what it's like. God wants you to be free. I'm not picking on tobacco. You take food. You take alcohol. Oh, pornography. Man, it's an open door to hell. It's an open door to divorce. It's an open door of addiction and perversion. Because you look at these girls that are like, woo. And boy, that's what a wife's supposed to be like. And then you go into marriage with this false expectancy of, I'm not going to get graphic, but you know what I'm talking about. There was doors. You opened a door when you were, I can just about remember back to the first time that door opened to me. I remember there was a woods by my house, and people used to cut through that woods and go between here and there. I lived in a subdivision, so it wasn't out here in the boonies in the woods. But, you know, people would go back there, and they'd leave magazines laying around and stuff. And I remember the first time I found a magazine, it was a True Detective or something. And it probably had pictures of scantily clad women in it, but there wasn't no real nudity, but it was like, bam, you know? And then you see a Playboy, and y'all that have fooled with pornography, you know that that's a joke. I mean, I think all Playboy ever showed was top. I'm not trying to get graphic, but the thing about it is the door is not satisfied to come through a little spot. He wants the whole wall, the whole hedge of protection tore down. He wants you to be totally captive to that addiction. What is the solution to that? Jesus, right? Jesus. Psalm 24. Go there, please. Y'all know Psalm 24, but go there. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. And then this is the part I wanted to bring out. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Mariah's teaching this morning, isn't she? Too bad I was going to ask her to come up and say something. But she taught youth group the other night, and it was amazing. Very amazing and powerful, especially for a young lady that's only 15. God's raising up a generation that are going to keep the doors closed. God is raising up a generation that's going to keep things shut. But she taught, she played an excerpt from, who was Corey Russell? And he was speaking to y'all, your generation, but it's not only your generation at all. But he said, I believe he said that this is the laziest generation that's ever existed in this nation. And he, of course, it's not blanket. It's not blanket. But if you ever notice, the sins of the fathers open the door. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Baby boomers, we open the door. We open the door of drugs. We open the door of rebellion to parents. We open the door of sexual promiscuity. We open it up. It wasn't wide as it is now, but then it's like the next generation. And I've told y'all this before, and I can't ever get this out of my mind. There was a group called the Doobie Brothers, which we know what Doobie means. If you don't, you don't need to. But the Doobie Brothers had an album called What Once Were Vices Are Now Habits. What was a vice when we were growing up has now become habitual. You know, it's become rampant. The doors, the gates have been open, wide open, and every ungodly thing has come in. And God has, in his mercy, our nation is not under judgment. I mean, it is, but it's not. There's still a hedge of protection around this nation right now. There's a hedge of protection around our nation. But there's chinks in the wall. There's gates that are burned up, just like with Nehemiah when he went out to look at the state of the gate, the walls and the gates and around Jerusalem. He said, they're burned down, they're broken down, they're in need of repair. It's a disgrace to the house of God. It's a disgrace to the people of God that the walls should be broken down. So, I know what you can title this. Title it Chicken Massacre. Because they gave their life for this sermon. But the point is, these chickens had a safe place. They come in, you know, I'd open it in the morning and they go out. They go in and out and find pasture. And at night, they would come back, and they would find a safe place on their roost. Now, let's just imagine we're chickens. We can go in and out and find pasture. We go back to a safe place, which is a safe place of God, our refuge of God, our refuge of the most holy place. And all we've got to do is close the door. the chickens, if I guarantee you, when the chickens saw that, whatever, fox, bobcat, I don't know what got them. But whatever it was, if they were able, they would have been smart enough, as dumb as a chicken is. Their brain's about the size of a BB. They are stupid. They would have had enough sense to shut that door and lock it. Don't you know they would? In their last tormented minutes on earth, they would have shut that door. It's stupid. I shouldn't say stupid. Instinct. They would have, by instinct, their very instinct that God had put in them, they would have found a safe place. But us, as the highest creation in the whole universe outside of God, as the highest, at the crown, we've been called the crown of His creation, we see the enemy coming. We see him coming to steal, to kill, and destroy his believers, and we will not, guys, don't be talking while I'm preaching. We will not shut that gate and we will not shut that door. We must. We must. You got to shut it. You got to lock it. You got to plead the blood of Jesus over it. You got to stomp it out like it never existed. I'm going to read you one more scripture and then Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and I received instruction. Now listen to this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and so shall poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Let's stand up. I love y'all. I really do love you. Listen to me. I love you. I love every one of you. When one or two or three or four of y'all are in the hospital, when I see you going the wrong way, when I see you going astray, it bothers me. I lose sleep. Yes, I pray for you. And it's heavy sometimes. And I'm not complaining because that's what God has asked me to do. But when somebody in your family, when you see them about to get slaughtered, and you know only they can make the decision to stop it, you can pray and you can seek God. You can even beg and ask. But you've got to shut the door. You've got to realize that it's sin. Listen, it's not a little phase you're going through. That phase will lead to another phase and another phase, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse. Oh, I'm in jail. How did that happen? Oh, I'm going to pump methadone in me to get off this drug. How did that happen? Oh, somebody's pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, maybe we should get an abortion. You know, I'm just saying, it's a slippery slope. But most of y'all, that's not the problem. Most of us have just opened doors that have been poisoning us spiritually. They have been like eating poison in small amounts, and they're just tearing us down. They're taking our faith away. They're taking our joy away. They're taking our expectancy away. And that's not God. That's not God. I'm not talking about heaven and hell there. I'm just talking about not enjoying the life God has given us. So, Lord God, we raise our hands to you. Would you raise your hands to him? And Lord, I know this word was from you, and I know I didn't do it justice, God, but Holy Spirit, you can do justice to it right now, Lord. I thank you that you burn in every belly right now, God. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you minister to us, Jesus, life. But above all, I thank you, God, for conviction. Lord God, if we stand in front of a courtroom, you go, yep, you're guilty there. Yep, you got a door open there. Yep, I want to close it, but you got to bow down up there. So listen, just listen to me. Be honest. Please be honest. I've opened up doors. I've allowed things to be my God. I've allowed things to calm my spirit besides God. I've filled those holes in with other things. Come on, let's close the doors. As the Bible says, the night is coming. The night is coming when no man can work. You know, whether it's an addiction to something physical or it's dependent on something else to be your God, it can even be a hobby, it could be a sport, it could be a good thing. But you've made it more important than God. You put it on the throne of your life. And you've cried out, and I know some of y'all have cried out and said, but God, I can't, I've tried. I can't be free. Let's give it to God this morning. Let's shut every door the enemy has come in by. Let's shut every door, every door. The ones you've condoned and said, well, it's not that bad, and it really doesn't hurt, and that, you know what God says. You know what he's got for you is better than that. So if you need to close some doors, please come up here right now. Let's close them. I'll pray with you. If I pray with you, go no further than Mark. But come on up here and close every door that the enemy's got in, and let's seal it with the blood. Let's seal it with his promises. And if you need prayer for anything else, come on up here. God wants to minister to you. It's not a bad thing. Come on up here. I want to come back, God. Lord, I want to feel what I used to feel, God. Fill in that empty place, God. Come on. Come on. God's speaking to you. Come on. What will people think? Who cares? What would God think?